Romans chapter 1, 22 through 28. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorrupted God into an image made like corruptible man. That's where we're at today. Man is the measure of all things. Humanism is really the religion of America today. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And the word change there, you look it up in your concordance, it means exchange. They did an exchange. They exchanged God's truth for the devil's lies. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. What are those vile affections? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet or right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, or for that matter, God's laws, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I believe that the acceptance of homosexuality into a culture by the political organism and the people is the last nail in the coffin of a degenerate culture before it incurs God's judgment and wrath. Why don't you turn with me quick to page 8. Because in page 8, what we see very clearly here is what God's design is. At the very top of page 8, friends, the Bible is clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman. God made Eve and brought her to Adam. Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the apostles affirm this. Moses recorded in Genesis 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Christ says in Mark 10:7, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The biblical family is the first thing that God instituted. God instituted three things. He instituted marriage and family first. He instituted human government, and he instituted the church. And the family, the biblical family, male husband, female wife, married together, is the backbone of a society. And when family is destroyed, a culture is doomed. In fact, this was the key contributing factor to the demise of Rome. Now, what I want you to do now is turn to page 7. On page 7, the degeneration of America. Top paragraph. For years, people knew that this vile perversion existed in our culture. They knew it. But it was hidden and scorned. All that changed in the so-called 60s sexual revolution, which I lived through. The year was 1969. Homosexuals came out of the closet. How do I know? Well, if you think back, if some of you are old enough to remember that, as I am, in June of 1969 at Stonewall Bar in Greenwich Village, New York. It started as a riot when the police raided the place, but the homosexuals fought back with bricks. There were 3 days confrontation. The event is now celebrated yearly as Gay Pride Week. That's the origin of Gay Pride Week, friends, when they come out of the closet. Yes? Okay, they're having gay games down in Chicago, Dean says. And it symbolizes the rebellion against the establishment and bringing their perversion into the open. From this, the gay rights movement was born. Since then, homosexuals and those who are sympathetic to their cause have chipped away at the Judeo-Christian sexual values that undergird our nation until we are where we're at today. Public education, television, the liberal media are conduits pumping homosexual propaganda into the minds of American young and old alike. An increasing number of voices are shouting the lie that the gay lifestyle is normal and natural. But would you call this a gay lifestyle? Homosexuals make up about 4%. My research says, I actually think they make up about 2%, but the research said about 4% of the population. Yet, they have 44% of all male syphilis, 50% of all venereal disease, 53% of all intestinal disease, 43% of all hepatitis A, 35% of all hepatitis B, 88% of all AIDS cases. The average age of homosexuals dying with age is 39. The average age of homosexuals dying of other causes is 41. Only 1% of homosexuals live to be 65 years or older. The suicide rate among homosexuals is 60 times higher than the general population. They are 3 times as likely to have alcohol and drug problems. They have 44 times more. They are 44 times more likely to be involved in an auto accident than heterosexuals. The rate of murder among homosexual men is 50 times greater than the general population. God's hand of judgment is on homosexuals. Turn back with me to page 1. Page 1, about a third down in the introduction. The pro-homosexual movement is very aggressive and in your face, and is often backed by and supported by leaders, leading politicians and Hollywood types. Several major corporations, and even more than several now, there's many major corporations, including Ford Motor Company. Interestingly enough, I have to put an aside. Some of you know that I was the chaplain for the Ford Motor Company the competition that they have. I should not name it specifically. I was a chaplain for a number of years, but do you realize that they finally did away with that? The reason I didn't go this year, and this is the big year where they begin endorsing homosexuals and advertising in homosexual magazines, and they recognize domestic partnerships, and homosexual living together as married couples. They get employees' benefits in many corporations, and just the same as biblically oriented families. There are also numerous television programs. This just really makes me mad. This is one of the reasons I quit watching regular television programs, and because of the fact that they include homosexual characters in the cast. And these homosexual characters in the cast, they always seem to be the nice people and the kind people and all that sort of thing. You know why? That's breaking down, and if you can get you to laugh at things, that's breaking down what should be something that should be abhorrent to us, because it's abhorrent to God. And then you got people like Rosie McDonald. As Pastor Dare was talking about this, they get artificially inseminated so that they can have children. There's a big push for homosexual adoption and all these things. There's all kinds of problems that go along with it. They take a vocal stand. The homosexuals take vocal stands. And besides that, if you're against homosexuality, the media characterizes you as homophobic, intolerant, and the radical right. It's critical for believers to know and understand what God's Word teaches about the issue, which could be a part of the demise of our culture and the church. In fact, in Wisconsin now in November, you'll have a chance to vote And I just want to tell you something. Any Christian who does not vote in the election coming up in November is sinning, because we have a chance to stop it. We have a chance to stop it in our state. And believe me, if the governor gets reelected, the one that we currently have, and we don't vote it, let me just tell you, there are going to be a bunch of men in black robes who are going to decide for us what's going on. And believe me, it won't be our way. And so I'm telling you, if you're a Christian and you're not registered to vote, you need to get off your blessed assurance and get registered to vote and be salt and light in this culture. Now, I want to make some definitions here. Homosexuality. Homosexual is described the propensity for sexual relationships with members of one's own sex. A lesbian is a term for a female homosexual. It comes from the ancient Greek Isle of Lesbos. It says which was an island that was inhabited solely by women. Sodomite is a term for a male homosexual taken from the name of the city of Sodom and the sin it was known for, as we see recorded in Genesis chapter 19. And one of the big things that's being pushed in the schools today is bisexuality. And a bisexual is those who sexual preferences, it doesn't matter. It can be one sex or the other sex. It can be the same sex or the opposite sex. And that's real popular in the public schools these days, to characterize yourself as bisexual. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, and it just goes on to say they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Malakoi is the first word, and that is a description of one who is the passive partner in a homosexual relationship. Because I want to tell you something. I'm praise God for repentance on the part of my sister. My sister saved, but for a number of years, my sister lived in that lifestyle. And I want to tell you that in homosexual relationship, there's always one who plays the male part. There's always one that plays the female part. There's always one that plays the passive part. There's always the one that plays the aggressive part. And so these two words indicate the fact that you have one that's the passive partner in the homosexual relationship, and the other word is the active or the power partner in the relationship. Now, there's all kinds of cockeyed defenses. I don't have enough time. If we'd had another night, I would have gone into the lie of the genetic theory. And this theory is that you're born with homosexual genes. Some psychiatrists believe that homosexuality is genetically transmitted. It may thus be considered a sickness. It's not sickness, it's sin. If biology explains homosexual behavior, it is assumed that the individuals are given little choice in the matter and thus cannot be held responsible for their behavior, a behavior that they can't control. That's bunk. The Bible very clearly says in the listing, "And such were some of you," and it characterizes previous to that, some who had been homosexuals, but they had repented of that, they'd gotten right with God, and they got forgiven. We used to have years ago, she's home to be with the Lord now, I believe, but we used to have years ago a lady who was a lesbian. She got saved. Her life turned around 180 degrees, and she gave her testimony, joined First Baptist Church here. She got married. She had kids. For a number of years, they were very active in Peter Metham's church before she went home to be with the Lord. She went home to be with the Lord early, just like the statistics talk about here. But nonetheless, she had been forgiven. She had turned away from that lifestyle. She was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's a psychological theory. Some have believed that early environmental influences produce homosexual tendencies. However, the American Psychiatric Association, how many of you ever seen the DSM-3R? Now it's the DSM-4R. I have sets of those from years back. I have a degree. I've never practiced, but I have a degree in that field. However, I had those DSM 2s and 3s and 4s, but in the first one I had, homosexuality was a psychological problem. However, in the current DSM, it is not. It's not. They took it out because it's not a problem. They removed it from the psychological disorder list in 1973. And then there's the questionable theory. Some link homosexual to questionable emotional developments like enforced sexual discipline, abnormal family situations. You know, everything you do today, if you go to the psychologist, everything you do today is someone else's fault. Everybody's a victim. That's not what the Bible says. We shall all give account of ourselves before God, whether we've done good or whether we've done evil. And then, believe it or not, you get on the web and start looking, they even have some rationalizations from the Bible. I got on one page and I didn't print it out. It says everything that the Bible says about homosexuality. And it says click on the next page, and then it's a blank page there. The fact is the Bible doesn't use the term homosexual. At least the King James Bible doesn't. I don't know about the New Perversions because I don't read the New Perversions. But nonetheless, it isn't in the King James Version of the Bible. But Genesis chapter 19, they claim that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was not because of the sin of homosexuality. In the pro-homosexual book by D. Sherwin Bailey, he says this: the sin for which the city was destroyed, if it was sexual in nature, was homosexual gang rape, not homosexuality. Well, he spends a little bit, very little time on that, and he goes on to say that he doubts that. But here's what he says the problem really is. He says the problem was that the city was inhospitable. That was the problem. The city's inhospitable. The demand of the men of Sodom to know the stranger was a desire to get acquainted and see if they were spies. Lot was not hospitable, i.e., he did not follow the custom of the day as to the men who were looking for the visitors. Because Lot was a foreigner, he could have sent the two messengers to the men of Sodom first, and then he could have had them in his house. Oh, gag me with a spoon. Give me a break. There's a similar situation in Judges chapter 19, and they use a similar defense there. You know, they say also in Jeremiah, and some of those that the sin of Sodom are listed. They include adultery, lying, helping the wicked, pride, full of bread, abundance of idleness, but homosexuality is not listed. However, how interesting that they don't list verse 50. Because God says that he lists an abomination. And homosexuality, in parallel passage, is called an abomination, as well as other sins, but homosexuality is called abomination to the Lord. Well, in response to that, I just want to make it very, very clear. We need to move along quickly. But in Genesis chapter 19, to say that it was gang rape or inhospitable is ridiculous. The word no in verse 5 certainly is sexual in nature because the word is also used of Lot's daughter in verse 8. Because Lot, remember, offered to send his daughter out to them that they might know her. Now, these were the men of Sodom. And who lived in Sodom? Lot lived in Sodom. And his family lived in Sodom. So certainly the men of Sodom, if they were just talking about being acquainted with, they would have already been acquainted with Lot's daughter. So it falls down flat. That's not even a possibility. very clearly now, just a few, if you've got your Bible, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. Leviticus chapter 18, if we go Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 through 24, It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? It says, it is abomination. And what was it called in Ezekiel 16:50? It's called abomination. So I just want you to see that now as we move along. Neither shalt thou lie with the beast to defile thyself with it. Neither shalt any woman stand before a beast to lie down with it. It is confusion. So that's clear there. We can go over to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 very quickly. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, it says, if a man also lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. In the Old Testament, this was a death offense. Their blood shall be upon them. And I don't have time to go through all the other things, but we've already looked at Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Those two words there means one who's the receiver in the perverted relationship, one who's the giver in the perverted relationship. You can look at those things yourself. So please turn over to page 4 now. Homosexuality is a sin against God. J. Adams, been to a number of classes by him, learning about Nuthetic Counselor, and Romans 1, 26 through 28 and 32. J. Adams states clearly in verse 26, Paul speaks of homosexuality as a degrading passion, in 27 as an indecent act, as an error in verse 28, the improper activity of a depraved not mind in verse 32, it is declared worthy of death. One is not a homosexual constitutionally any more than one is an adulterer constitutionally. That's what I want you to see. A person who commits adultery, you know, can you imagine if they start using this? Oh yeah, he was born with an adulterous gene. You know, he was born an adulterer. Let me just tell you what we're all born as. We're all born as sinners. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And homosexuality is a sin, adultery is a sin, fornication. Yeah, when young people go out and they fornicate, oh yeah, we gotta let them off because they were born. Well, they're born sinners. But I want to tell you something. God holds them responsible because God says, thou shalt not. Homosexuality is not considered to be a condition, but an act. And I think that's important you see that. Adam says homosexuality is not a condition, it is an act. It is viewed as a sinful practice which can become a way of life. You see, here's what happens when they do these tests and they say that the homosexual's brain is different from the heterosexual's brain. Well, I believe that. Because I'll tell you what happens when you start practicing something over and over and over again, your mind becomes defiled, as Romans chapter 1 says, and it is going to be different. You didn't start that way, but if you continue to live that way, there is a changing in your mind. The homosexual act, like the act of adultery, is the reason for calling one a homosexual. Of course, one may commit homosexual sins of the heart, just as one can commit heterosexual sins of the heart. What's a heterosexual sin of the heart? Lusting on somebody else's wife. He may lust after a man in his heart, as another may lust after a woman, but precisely because homosexuality, like adultery, is learned behavior into which men with sinful natures are prone to wander, homosexuality can be forgiven in Christ, and the pattern can be abandoned, and in its place, proper patterns can be established by the Holy Spirit when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There can be no doubt that the Old Testament regards homosexuality and pederasty, that's a man who sodomizes a boy, as a crime punishable by death, Leviticus 18:22 and 20. In the New Testament, homosexuality is listed in the catalog fashion with other forms of disobedience, such as idolatry, fornication, and adultery. There can be no doubt Paul regards homosexuality as sin and perversion of the order of human existence willed by God. You can flip over to page 5. And on the second paragraph from the bottom, I'm just going to start in the middle of the sentence. Homosexuality is wrong, and we must confront it as God gives us opportunity. We recognize that it is not acceptable. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It will harm our culture. In fact, it is harming our culture. And the statistics that I read at the very beginning make that very clear. It also, and here's the worst, it also invites the judgment of God. Some have said that if God doesn't punish America for its sin of homosexuality, he will owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Well, God does not owe anybody an apology, as he has not and cannot ever do anything wrong. There is an indication that a large percentage of the populace of Sodom were homosexuals, wherein I believe the statistics of homosexual in America are quite small. From what I have seen, it's less than 10%, but that doesn't mean God's not going to judge us if our nation goes same-sex marriage. You'll be surprised how quickly things can degenerate. Here's why it's a real problem. There was a disastrous decision in the Supreme Court. It was in Washington, D.C. on June, the year was 2003, when the United States Supreme Court ruled in Lawrence versus Texas that Texas's sodomy law was unconstitutional on the right of privacy and equal protection on grounds guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The section of the 14th Amendment that they were referring to is, quote, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive a person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law." What a stupid decision. What a disastrous decision. If I murder somebody in my house, is that my right to privacy? Of course not. Well, it was a disastrous decision. Here's why. Their decision effectively put an end to the remaining sodomy laws on the books in 13 states and opened the door to the possibility of same-sex marriage. It happened back in 2003. The homosexuals knew it. They've been working since 2003. And the new laws that will they'll make calling homosexuality a sin, a hate crime. You know that in Canada, a pastor was put in jail because he read Romans chapter 1, the portion that I read just before. They called it a hate crime in Canada. We're not too far behind that. Homosexual sodomy was criminal conduct in all 50 states until 1960. Since 1961, homosexual conduct has gone from being a crime in all 50 states to the Supreme Court ruling it is protected behavior under the law. It's not protected behavior under God's law. I grew up when homosexuality was characterized as a mental illness, and Americans considered it a moral perversion. And regardless of the Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court has ruled, our Supreme God says it's an abomination, it's an abominable moral perversion. All we have to do is look at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 that we looked at already. Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27 is called vile affection against nature, burned with lust. It's called unseemly. The first book of the Bible is clear that God's judgment has been upon those that practice this sin. All you have to do is read Genesis 19:24 through 28. The true story of Sodom and Gomorrah used to be laughed at and even considered fictional by many until the Eblat tablets were discovered in 1970. Many of the tablets recorded the trade records of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, nobody knows for sure where Sodom and Gomorrah is. They think it's under part of the Dead Sea and the other cities of the plain. But when they uncovered the tablets of Eblah, they'd done commerce with them. So all of a sudden, Sodom and Gomorrah comes a reality to those people who don't believe the Bible. It was always a reality to me. And the size of the transaction led many historians to believe, look at this now, the population of the city of the plains, of the plain, to be around 250,000 people. Listen, friends, the Sodom area was fertile area blessed by God. All you have to do is read Genesis chapter 13. You'll remember that Lot picked the well-watered plain. He picked the best land. But instead of being thankful to God for his blessings, the people forgot God and were filled with pride, greed, and lived for pleasure. Let's go to page 7. What are the implications of the recent Supreme Court ruling? Fact sheet from the Family Research Council in Wisconsin says, in one sweeping action, court's decision invalidated the sodomy laws of 12 states. With such laws on the books, Wisconsin and 36 other states had already repealed the sodomy laws, either by legislature or judicial action. Prior to the Lawrence decision, homosexual activists and pro-family groups alike recognized the decision has opened proverbial Pandora's box and has implications far beyond the state's sodomy law. What are the implications of the Supreme Court decision? One key thing that will be attacked is the biblical definition of marriage. Senator Scott L. Fitzgerald, Republican of Juneau, said at the time, the institution of marriage has served our society well based on Judeo-Christian values, and I think it should be protected. Now, I'm out of time. I hope that you will read the rest, but I want to get you to what you can do on page 9. What can you do? What can you do? Seek to win people to Christ, then their lives will change. Preachers should preach God's truth from the pulpit. Teach God's word. You ought to teach God's word in your home. You ought to model God's truths in your lives. You ought to speak God's truth in public and in editorials. And pray for our public officials. And you need to vote biblically. I'm telling you. As we close this evening, if Wisconsin doesn't pass the constitutional amendment of marriage as a man and a woman, it's a good amendment. Pastor Darrow and I know the people who put the amendment together. It's a good amendment. If we don't pass that, let me just tell you, the left coast in Madison there, the lefties in the center of the state, will be instituting laws that'll put pastors and other Christians in jeopardy if they say that homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. You need to teach your children that thinking bisexuality is sin. God says male and female with a sexual relationship in marriage, period. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing else.